नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदायो नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 46 टेक्स्ट 16। कच्चिद् अंग महाभाग सखानः सुरनन्दनः आस्ते कुश्ल्य अप्त्यादेर युक्तमुक्तः सुहृद्व्रतः। कच्चिदंग महाभाग सखानः सुरनन्दनः आस्ते कुशली अप्तायादेर युक्तमुक्तः सुहृद्व्रतः। कचिदंग महाभाग सखानः सुरनन्दनः आस्ते कुशली अपत्यादेर युक्तमुक्तः सुहृद्व्रतः। मतजिस कच्चिद वेदर अंगा माय डियर महाभाग ओ मोस्ट फॉर्चुनेट वन सखा द फ्रेंड नाह आवर सुरनंदन द सन ऑफ किंग शुर वसुदेव आस्ते लिप्स कुसली वेल अपत्य आद्य ही विथ हिज चिल्ड्रेन एंड सो ऑन युक्तः joined muktaha freed surhut to his friends brataha who is devoted. Translation and purport by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. There are few verses I will read, then purport will follow. Text 16 translation. Nanda Maharaj said, my dear most fortunate one, does the son of Sura fare well? Now that he is free and has rejoined his children and other relatives. Text 17, translation. Fortunately, because of his own sins, the sinful Kamsa has been killed, along with all his brothers. He always hated the saintly and righteous Yadus. Text 18. Does Krishna remember us? Does he remember his mother and his friends and well-wisher? Does he remember the cowherds and their village of Braja, of which he is the master? Does he remember the cows, Vrindavan forest and Govardhan hill? Text 19. Will Govinda return even once to see his family? If he ever does, we may then glance upon his beautiful face with its beautiful eyes, nose and smile. Purport. Now that Krishna had become a prince in the great city of Mathura, Nanda had lost hope that he would come back to live in the simple cowherd village of Vrindavan. But he hoped against hope that Krishna would come back at least once to visit the simple cowherd folk who had raised him from birth. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sriyuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakhan Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Krupa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. The blessings of all assembled devotees. I'd like to speak something on this exalted topic. Many devotees expressed it's a very high topic to speak on. In fact, Uddhava's visit to Vrindavan and experiencing the separation of Brajavasis, especially the gopis. These are the last chapters, this and following chapters describing Uddhava's visit. I believe these are the last chapters of Vrindavan Lila in 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm not 100% sure, but I believe these are then Mathura and Dwarka Lila starts. And Vrindavan things are kind of over. And of course, Srila Sukadev Goswami takes to the highest aspect of bhakti, devotional service, and then moves on. So you are hearing the deep feeling of separation that the Brajavasis are experiencing. Actually, we can understand the intensity of attraction only when we understand the pain and difficulty one endures during separation. Because just like if you take a magnet and some, you bring some iron filings next to it, there will be attraction, and immediately the magnet will capture these iron filings. But we don't understand the attraction, but when you try to separate them, you experience how deeply they are attached, isn't it? So similarly, I would say like this, when I was some time back, as a student we moved out of house from family, isn't it? Any of those, you know, all of us, practically all of you. So when I moved out of home, I had no understanding how much attached I am to the parents and my relatives, whatever it is. And years after years, we were just going and studying and moving city to city and places to places with so many different dreams and whatever it is. But the moment we decided to join ashram, at that point we realized how deeply we are attached to parents. So the separation actually reveals the nature of attraction. And what we hear here in these chapters is something unfathomable. The kind of love, devotion the gopis and the gopas, the soul, which is explained by the acharyas, just like in a summer season, because of the scorching heat of sun, ponds, lakes, they practically dry up. And the tortoise and other aquatics, they simply survive in the muddy water, whatever remains. They're just barely able to survive. Similarly, because of intense heat of separation, the Brajavasis are practically died. But because there was only one hope, Krishna said, I'm coming back. That resembles the muddy water in which they survived. So these are the very, these analogies are, extreme analogies are given to expose the nature of attraction they have for each other. So now, coming back to the reality in this world, like those who have studied some science, some advanced science, we know these are my humors. People ask me, why don't you speak any joke? I say, my science is my joke. Some technical stuff I speak. Anyway, there are four forces that operate in nature. Those of you little bit aware of these things. One is electromagnetic force, what you call EMR. Because of which we have microphones, internet, you know, so many gadgets are coming up. And the other force is gravitational force. Then there is weak and strong nuclear forces. These are four forces they know. It is very difficult to understand the nature of the force. Very difficult. And it was some one and a half century back, Maxwell, who understood actually the nature of electric and magnetic forces and combined them, unified them. So now they know the gravity, it is existing, the force is there, it is pushing and pulling. They know it is there, but they don't nobody understands its nature. Because once you understand the nature, then you can manipulate. EMR is understood, therefore we have all these gadgets. So, even in this physical world, there are so many forces operating and we have no clue how it is happening. This was Einstein's dream. Because everybody fundamentally believes force means pushing and pulling. There should be one force only. Why should there be four forces? That means all these four forces have one origin. That is Krishna, of course. But to mathematically resolve them and make sense of it is something still a dream only. Nobody has resolved it so far. But these are the forces that operate in, Jadabastu. Jadabastu means inanimate, like those who don't have life. But beyond these forces, there is another force that operate among living entities. Various forces, not just one. Like love and hatred, greed and generosity. So this kind of forces, they push and pull all the living entities. And because of these forces, everyone is moving around in this creation. And there are senses, there are sense objects, and there are urges. Srila Rupa Goswami explains in Upadeshamrita in the very beginning. There are six types of urges. Urges means basically force. It pushes from within. Vacha vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udarapastha vegam. Six forces, he says. And all these senses, sense objects, urges, desires, they practically kick a living entity like a football, going around in the whole world, trying to enjoy. And basically, these forces, unless, as Srila Rupa Goswami Pada says, unless one tolerates them, life will be miserable. One has to tolerate them. Etan vegan yo visaheta dhira. Dhira means sober person. Are not, they tolerate. It's not that we have to face the forces. There is no other way. We're right here. There's no other way. One has to experience it. One can't escape it. There is no other way. But then one has to learn to tolerate. Now, sometimes it is often explained in this world that attraction between opposite sexes termed as love in this world. But actually, what is love and what is lust? This is actually lust in the guise of love. Because first there is attraction, then there is so-called love. And then whatever sacrifice and gifts, etc., exchange and all kind of things is basically to exploit and enjoy in a selfish way. That is lust basically. Love by definition, it's basically manifest spontaneously without any prior condition. Attraction comes later, love comes first, without any motivation. And in this world we have seen that, especially the mothers, they experience. When mother sees her baby, child, the love naturally manifests in the heart, spontaneously. Just by seeing the baby, just manifests. And then, if it is really love, then it inspires one to serve and sacrifice. Isn't it? There is no motivation, there is no attraction as such, which like inspires one to exploit and enjoy selfishly. Rather, it is pure, spontaneous, naturally manifested love in the heart, which inspires sacrifice and service. So that is love. So now Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he explains these two terms, kama and prema in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because what we are discussing about the gopis and the gopas' love for Krishna is basically, there is no tinge of any karma. It is pure love. So therefore he explains, and to give example he says, lust is like iron and love is like gold. Now if you take iron, with time it gets rust and it is gradually, there is corrosion, erosion and disappears. And throughout the thing, it basically decays and decays and decays, and there is no kind of experience of bliss, not increasing bliss. It just disappears. But gold, again those who have studied science call inert, noble metal. It's inert, it doesn't react. And its values always goes up and up and up. So they say, even if you buy first class Mercedes-Benz car, you buy it, a Mercedes-Benz or whatever, I don't know the latest, nowadays since 15 years you have lost touch, so whatever the best car available, you buy, and if you decide to sell it next day, its value will decrease, nobody will buy at the same price. But gold, no matter what is the time and age and people, culture, whatever it is, The gold values always goes up and up and up. That is love. That's what Krishna Das Gaurav Goswami explains. But in this world living, we experience both lust and love. And to which one of this we yield ourselves? Right? These two forces are there. To which we yield, in one sense it depends on us. But sometimes the situations become so overwhelming, the waves are so powerful, one feels totally helpless. And this is the time one needs to turn to Krishna and Guru. Actually, first Guru, then Krishna. I'll just tell a small incident that happened a few days back. We are in Mayapur, Sridham Mayapur, myself and one of our IIT friends, Anantir Prabhu. So this was like we went for Nakshin Jatudasi festival, because our Prasadam kitchen has now khichdi for all festivals. So I was kind of free. So he very kindly offered me the tickets, fare, and I went with him. But then first time I'm going to Mayapur and there was no service for me. First time it happened actually. Then in many cases we hear that Mayapur is the place of kirtan, chanting of holy names. Brindavan is place of, if one goes to Brindavan, one should simply roll on the dust of Brindavan, because that is the Vajraj has the spiritual richness in it. And if one goes to Jagannath Puri, one should eat Mahaprasad. So that is the glory of Jagannath Puri. So then we decided that one day before, we decided to chant 64 rounds. And it was quite hot. But then we said, whoever finishes first will keep chanting to support the other person. And it went until 4:35 o'clock. Then took a bath in Ganga, went to Jagannath temple and came back. Then you realize tomorrow is fasting till noon and we have not ate properly. So we have to eat something. So we decided to go to the local restaurant Govinda's and nothing was there. 8:30, not available. Then we went to the Samadhi temple. Hardly all the shops are closing down, 8:30. And somebody said, we have something. Then I remember another devotee who was bringing prasadam for Gaurang Prabhu and others. I said, do you have some prasad remaining? He said, yes. So I bring it. And there we were sitting on the grass lawn in front of Prabhupada Samadhi, beautiful. Sky was nice. And as we sat to eat, a very nice dog came. Very innocent, pleasing, friendly dog. And sat right next to us without demanding anything. Not even looking at our plates. Unconditional love. So I was kind of moved by that dog. I said, it's a nice dog. And because that devotee also came, so much prasad came. We thought if we eat heavily, probably tomorrow fasting will be difficult. So I immediately decided, let me give something, some portion to that dog. And the dog started eating very happily. The other devotee also realized the same. Tomorrow is fasting. So they also started to offer. But as we are offering, another dog came, very cruel and mean. And as that dog came, this dog got so scared, just simply left the place. And this dog started, you know, biting everything. And I felt very bad, because we have the fellowship of good dog and bad dog. I said, we should nourish the good dog, not the bad dog. So, because good dog means, you know, love, sacrifice, gratitude, humility. Bad dog means greed, anger, selfish lust, hatred, etc. So, then I went behind that good dog and assured, don't worry, I am here, you start eating. Somehow, but still the dog was just kind of scared, running away. I just went, stood next to him, put the food and started eating. And suddenly some devotee called me, I just turned my face for a few seconds, and this, you know, that bad dog just simply took over. Then I felt so helpless. In my presence, I am not able to, you know, do anything. Then I realized there is something in this world which is beyond our control. And then I just prayed, because we have some experience in IIT days. In rainy season, the leopards would come. And when the leopards would come, the dog will be scared like hell. They are always depressed face. And I thought in my heart of heart, this bad dog cannot be removed by any ordinary leopard or, you know, tiger. We have to bring Lord Narsingadev, the original lion. So I just prayed to Lord Narsingadev, please come and stay in our hearts, so that this bad dog, bad, mad dog, goes away forever from this place. And with your lotus hand, please bless this good dog, like Prahlad, so that we can actually start understanding and performing devotional service. So yes, with intelligence we can discriminate what is good, what is bad. We have to feed the good dog. With intelligence we can discriminate. But sometimes situations are very overwhelming. It happened with Arjun. He was overwhelmed. He was a scholar. He was very qualified. He had all the potentials, capacity. But with all his qualifications, he was practically helpless. And then he turned to Krishna. Krishna, absolutely I can't do anything. You are my guru. You are my everything. Please save me. And then, of course, we know Arjuna became successful. So basically, one has to understand that to overcome these forces that is operating in this material world, the modes and the urges, we have to depend on Krishna. So that is possible because Krishna's internal potency is very powerful. So there is another force beyond these forces of urges and the modes, is a spiritual force. So we have to come out of this and place ourselves in that spiritual current. But that's not easy. Because as we know, if the iron filling is rusted, even if being a big magnet, it doesn't get attracted at all. So as long as this lust, greed, anger, all these things are there, will not be attracted to Krishna at all, even if it's there. Like Duryodhana was not attracted to Krishna at all. So to get attracted to Krishna, we have to cleanse, we have to remove these anarthas. And that is possible if we chant the holy names very sincerely with humility. Try to pray to Krishna, because he will only cleanse it, then he will attract us. That is the way. So if there is a something is attached to already to something, one magnet, something is already attached, if you want to remove it, like we are all captivated by the material lust. So if you want to come out of it, then you have to bring another big magnet, and that big magnet will pull it out. So doesn't matter how it is, but somehow or other we have to bring Krishna, that big magnet, into our lives. So we need to call out Krishna sincerely, something like Draupadi did, very helpless. And when she did it, even the most difficult, unbearable situation became a beautiful pastime, isn't it? It was a very horrible situation otherwise. It was like she was helpless and all these people are there, some are laughing, some are like going, you know, depressed. It was a very highly tensed situation. And then Krishna comes, such a difficult situation become a very beautiful pastime. So similarly, if we bring Krishna, then it doesn't matter how difficult the situation may be, wherever we may be, that situation can actually turn to a very beautiful, memorable pastime. And if we can't bring Krishna, then our misery will have no end. It will continue. But of course, to the extent we call to Krishna, Krishna reciprocates. It's not that Neha Vikramana Swasti Pattavana Vidyate Sulpamapasa Dharmasya Trayate Mahato Bhayat. Krishna will give protection. Name Bhakti Pranashati. So these protections are there. But then unless we develop that helpless attitude to call out Krishna, we will not feel the full power of that spiritual force. It is not possible. So, how we can attract Krishna then? Srila Radhanath Swami says, like poles repel and unlike poles attract. So Krishna is supremely great. And if we think we are also great, then it's not possible. And we falsely think we are great. After being kicked so many times, you know, matter of 20 years, you have so many experience. What to speak of 40? You know, so many experiences. It's kicking, kicked again and again and again. And we think, no, I am great, I will overcome it, this and that. So many things we think, so many things we plan. These are all false pride. This is what we are not. We are actually helpless. So humility means we understand our real situation. And we understand Krishna's situation. And understanding that, we helplessly call out. And how do you understand that we have the humility? This is another question. How do you understand, actually I have humility? Because if one is sincerely humble, then one is willing to do any menial service happily, being very grateful. Because understand, Krishna is great and he is actually taking care of me. He is giving me opportunity to grow. So when we hear all this, understand all these things, then one becomes grateful. And then even it's sweeping the temple hall or cleaning the pots in kitchen, cooking is a little glorious. Cleaning the pots is like menial service. Menial service means just do it full gratitude. And when one does that, then obviously, because of that low situation and great gratitude and happiness experienced in rendering those services, will definitely attract Krishna's mercy. Just like Mother Devahuti, we read from Srimad Bhagavatam, she was basically a princess in the Manu's son. Manu is the first human, I mean, he is the king of all the human beings, I mean, the great personality. His daughter, grown in exuberant, exuberant luxury, you can't even think of. And she marries to Kardama Muni and she serves manually, year after year, without asking anything in exchange. Happily, with gratitude, with tears in eyes. When such things are done, then naturally she became the mother of Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord appeared as her son. That is the attraction. Similarly, we see in our devotee community also, there are many devotees like His Grace Radhesham Prabhu, is a great preacher, pioneer in youth preaching, so many new ideas he brought in. So many students became devotees because of his touch and effort, hard work, sacrifice. But then he was in the Vrindavan Yatra, Mayapuratra, he comes, he cleans the pots. We cook the big pots. Some are 500 liters, 600 liters, like huge pots. And because he's small height, sometimes he entered the pot. You won't see him, the pot eclipses him completely. And then Muralidhar Prabhu also does, Shyamananda Prabhu does. Shyamananda Prabhu was cleaning our toilets for many, many years, very happily, blissfully. I have seen him doing that. So then Maharaj saw him doing it, Radhesham Prabhu. And he mentioned about it in his Yatra lectures. Then Radhesham Prabhu was telling to Gaurang Prabhu, I was there, that he was saying, you see, I did so much of service, of this preaching and all, but Maharaj never told anything about it anywhere. But I did this, then he was saying, when Radhesham Prabhu, Gaurang Prabhu together in Pune, Gaurang Prabhu would be cooking, he would be cleaning. That was their previous status also. He said, we are continuing with our services. You are cooking, I am cleaning. He was telling. Then he said, because I did this service, Maharaj is so happy. It's not that he was not finding it bad because he was not glorified for his preaching, but he was finding it nice because Maharaj was happy to see him serving that particular way. That was pleasing him. and he was mentioning about it. So this is the way we can actually attract Krishna. So Radha Swami also says, what is the real gratitude? Real gratitude doesn't mean just say thank you. Real gratitude means reciprocate. Something done good to us, Krishna has done something good to us, we have to reciprocate. Reciprocate means willing to undergo any kind of sacrifice. That is called reciprocation. That is called gratitude. So people who come to Krishna, normally they miss this point to call out to Krishna and take his shelter. In Gita, Krishna, Lord Sri Krishna speaks, Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvidha Vajante Mam Jana Sukritin Arjuna Artha Jigyasu Arthati Gyane Chabhartarse, like that. So four types of people come to Krishna and they have some motives. They have Sukriti. Because without Sukriti one cannot approach Krishna. One may go many places seeking shelter, but coming to Krishna means one has to have Sukriti. So they have Sukriti. Sukriti is like a bank balance they have, because of which they can come to Krishna. But after coming to Krishna, what do they do? They ask money, relief from distress, some knowledge, some inquisitiveness to be, curiosity to be fulfilled. And when that is fulfilled, they go back. They never worry to strike a relationship with Krishna. That is their situation. They miss the point. It is only when you come in contact with the devotees, they say, forget all these things. Try to strike a relationship with Krishna. Try to love Krishna. That is the most beneficial thing ever can happen to your life. So it is only devotees who give this brilliant idea. Love Krishna. Serve Krishna. And that is what Srila Rupa Goswami defines, Anya Bhilashita Sunyam Jnana Karma Anavritam. No jnana karma, tins should not be there. Anukulena Krishna nu shilanam bhakti rituma. Whatever favorable to serve Krishna, adopt it. Whatever not favorable, reject it. No jnana, no karma. That is pure devotional service. So, when you start to do these activities, start loving Krishna, then Krishna gradually reveals more and more about his personality, about his nature. Of course, as I said, it's not possible. We have to cleanse the heart. To cleanse the heart, then gradually Krishna reveals. The more we cleanse, the more Krishna revealed. Now, in these chapters, we see Uddhava is very intimately connected to Krishna. He is a devotee of Krishna. It is explained that he is disciple of Brihaspati. He was so intelligent that Brihaspati himself volunteered to teach him Shastra. He was attracted to him. You know, sometimes professors are also very, you know, moved by the student's intellect. He taught him everything. Taught all the Shastra. Not only he knew the Shastra, he realized the Shastras also. And because of that qualifications, he became a mantri, a minister. And he was good counselor. Krishna would sought his counsels. And he was very dear to Krishna also. And because of his knowledge, he knew Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He knew that he is the cause of all causes. He knew everything has emanated from him. So therefore, he is a self-realized personality who was in company of Krishna, understanding who Krishna is, and rendering service very obediently, very perfectly, to suit Krishna's flavor. And when Krishna was thinking to send somebody to Vrindavan, to Braj, to pacify the devotees there who were suffering all these separations, then he was desperate looking for someone, then he thought, let me choose Uddhava. Because he is very close, and he knew that he is intelligent, probably he could pacify them with his sweet words, gestures and all those qualities. And probably, apart from that, Krishna wanted to show Uddhava that how glorious the Brajavasis are. He thought, Acharya explained, he thought that he is my friend, he is a good devotee. Let me, understanding this, that he is my friend and good devotee, the gopis would teach him pure bhakti. Because he is my friend, isliye sikhayenge, nahi to nahi sikhayenge. This is the kind of that. And he was also thinking that if Uddhava returns from Braj and he tells the glories of gopis, everybody will accept, because he is the most intelligent person. That was also another concern Krishna had. People should not think that these people of Braj are very low and ordinary type of people. That would hurt him. Krishna would not like that. He wanted to expose, or he wanted to make sense, or he wanted to make justification to the love of the Brajavasis. Therefore he sent Uddhavas. Because if he is more intelligent person, he comes back, he glorifies, then it has to be accepted. So thinking all these various aspects, he sends him and said, go and try to pacify. So now Uddhava has entered Vrindavan, that area of pure devotion. Pure devotion is kevala bhakti. Pure bhakti. Pure bhakti force. That's what it is. And however, as we explained, Uddhava bhakti is tinted with jnana, Aishwarya bhava. And he was seeing Krishna as Supreme Lord like that. So another aspect why Krishna sends him, to understand that Krishna doesn't want to be God in Vrindavan. He is God, but in Vrindavan doesn't want to be God. That also he wanted him to experience. Why Krishna does like that? Because we see in this world, sometimes people see us in saffron, they pay obeisances, they expect all those things they do. But basically they are offering respect to the uniform. Of course that is also culture, that is good, no problem. But it is basically the respect to the outfit, not to the person. But when you understand the person, his glories, and interact with him, and understand the glories, like Prabhupada, big sannyasis, when you meet them, when you understand them, and when we pay obeisances and respect, it is not to the dress, it is the personality. So Krishna is Supreme God, he has so many opulences. Because of that, if we pay obeisances, that is okay. But if we just pay obeisances to him because what he is, the personality, apart from his glories, then that's what really pleases him. And that's what the gopis do. The gopas do. They respect Krishna, they love Krishna because what Krishna is, not because what are his designations. And fearing this, Krishna always covers them that how he is not God, and experiences that rich pure bhakti amongst them. So Uddhava, he goes to this area and he is witnessing all this. In the beginning he was not able to grasp what's happening here, because he was conscious about his duty, he has to pacify. So he first met Nanda Maharaj, like we see all these verses. Nanda Maharaj saying, you are very fortunate because he is friend of Krishna. You are very fortunate because you are living with him nowadays. Then he is asking about Vasudev. He is not asking about Krishna directly, because that would choke him up and he would not be able to speak. So gradually he goes and comes to the point, does Krishna ever remember us? Is he going to come back at least once? So these are the questions, the anxieties he was expressing. So he sees that Nanda Maharaj in a severe distress, and tears simply poured out, and Uddhava tried to pacify. Out of compassion, when you see somebody distressed, obviously some compassion comes, so he thought, let me pacify. Then he was thinking, he is crying for Krishna. And I know the Shastra. And Shastra says, to cry for Krishna is perfection of life. So how can I say, don't cry? That would be Shastra against Shastra. That is not good. So he was like kind of So if somebody loses someone in this material world, some son or whatever, then you can pacify by saying, don't worry, it's material body, soul is eternal. All these things you can pacify by saying, don't cry. But somebody is crying for Krishna already, what can you say? But then as a duty, because Krishna told, see, he tried. And of course, what else he can do? Whatever Brihaspati taught him, he has to use those shastra. She was telling, you should be very happy because Krishna is your son, is Supreme Lord, cause of all causes. Actually, he has no parents. He is the parent of everybody. Aham Bijapada Pita, Krishna says in Gita. He is father of everybody. He is the cause of all causes. But he decides to have you as parents. So such a glorious thing. Be happy. Itna kuch mil gaya aapko. You know, be happy, be pacified, be feel fortunate. And he was expecting the Nanda Maharaj to start understanding and come out of his grief gradually. That was his expectation. But what happened was completely opposite. Nanda Maharaj, in his that kind of spiritual delirium, he started saying, Uddhava, I thought you were intelligent, but you are actually the fool number one. On the one hand, you are saying he is God, and then you are saying you are fortunate because he is not here anymore. If we lose God, then you have to cry. So he was saying that you are telling that he is Narayan. Then he gives many reasons that how he is not Narayan. He says, I have not studied Shastra like you, but I have heard from Mahatmas that who is Narayan. He says, Narayan is most worshipable. But our Krishna, he carries my sandal on his head. He is worshipping me. Narayan is shelter of everybody. But Krishna, when there is this lightning or some thunderstorm, he just keep running back to his mother and seeking shelter. Scared. Narayan is aptakam, self-satisfied. But here, Krishna steals butter. He is not satisfied with home butter, goes to other houses also. And Narayan is pure and sinless, but Krishna keeps telling lies. He tells white lies, what they say. Right in front of face, he will say lies. So these things, so Uddhava was basically thinking that I will explain and Nanda Maharaj will understand. But in the process, what happens? He becomes bewildered. He feels that bhakti power of Nanda Maharaj. So what happens? Sometimes, like Arjun, when he saw the universal form, he was a friend, was sitting with Krishna at the same seat, sleeping in this practically same bed. They would lie down and talk to each other. They would eat from the same plate. As friends do sometimes. But when he saw the universal form, he became filled with awe and reverence. So his bhakti was penetrated by jnana. Jnana could penetrate it and make him respectful. But in case of Nanda Maharaj, Uddhava, the most intelligent person, the real Shastrajna, his words could not penetrate Nanda Maharaj even a slightest of millimeter. He just rejected him. And more Uddhava met Vrajavasis, the gopas, the friends, and then later in the chapter, next chapter, gopis, he understood that their glories are really too high. And his jnana, simply the tinge of jnana which he was carrying, simply evaporated. Or what do you call? Sublimated. Like Gauranga was saying the other day, that Uddhava was wearing the hat, the crown of jnana when he came. And when he saw the Brajavasis, every step, he found that their love is actually high and high. And he looked up and up and up, finally the crown fell off. And he realized that what is Brajavasis bhakti. And when it actually fell off, he became very humbled. He realized their glories. So much so, he said, I want to become a blade of grass, so that the Brajavasis can trample on me. And the more they trample, higher ecstasy I will experience. That was his understanding. So, So Uddhava was amazed and he understood that that the jnana, the shastra that reveals Krishna cannot reveal certain aspect. Jnana is like sunlight. It illuminates everything that we see around. Niranjan Maharaj speaks this. His Holiness Niranjan Maharaj. Illuminates everything. But to see the pole star, we don't need sun. We have to keep aside the sun. Sun dekha to pole star ka light nahi dekh sakte hain. Now one may think, what is the sun is better than pole star, one may think like that. But no. Even if you come think in a mundane way, during daytime somebody travels in the ocean, navigation is very difficult because all equally illuminated. It is during the night time the pole star reveals the directions. It reveals. So we are in the material world, it is like all dark and everything. So pole star is very, from our perspective. But when again, on the spiritual platform, if Krishna remains God in Vrindavan, then that beauty of pole star is actually cannot be experienced. So you understand ki if we want to experience pure bhakti, the bhakti force, then jnana karma anabhritam, you have to take it out, forget it, and then with real humility one has to enter the Brajdham. So he understood that certain things cannot be revealed by Shastra, that can be revealed only by these pure, great, unalloyed devotees. What Brihaspati could not taught him, the gopis taught him. Of course, as I said, we cannot understand the nature of love between this Brajavasi and Krishna. It's so difficult. But at least from the pangs of separation that they experienced, we have some clue that how deeply this force is operating. And of course, in that force, because it is based on love, sacrifice and all these things, there is always pleasure experienced. Very subtle pleasure, sublime pleasure is experienced. Like Radhana Swami Maharaj says, Jani Homi, one statement, that in very difficult times, if one endures, one will experience a subtle pleasure. So, understanding all this, then one may wonder, why did Krishna left Vrindavan? Why he left? Such nice people. But then if you study Bhagavatam again, Narad Muni comes once and reminds him about his duty. So Krishna leaves Vrindavan for people like you and me. He gives up the loving association of all his great personalities to save Paritranaya Sadhunam. Comes out. And he himself is experiencing pain. But then he is resolved. He is resolved that I have to stay and remove all the unwanted things as I promised to my demigods and all their personalities, and basically to save people like us and attract us. That is his responsibility. And therefore, out of Krishna, that is supreme nature of Krishna's compassion and love for us. So out of that compassion, he moves out of this Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. I'm sorry, little late. Please bear. Hare Krishna.